Luke chapter 2. We're in a series called Expect the Unexpected. And before I get started, a couple things I want to say. This past week, I was asked to pray for somebody. And I know I'm going to embarrass her, but Catherine, we've been asked to pray for you. If you look on our prayer list, Catherine has been battling Lyme disease since she was, two years old? But when you see her, she will have a smile on her face, and she'll be up here singing when she has the opportunity. But I know that they switched medication on her this week, and it really rocked her. So I want you to pray for Catherine, if you would, please. And I just wanted to mention that. And I know I embarrass you, but I don't apologize for that. if you're in Luke chapter 2, I've had a few people come up and ask how our weekend went, and it went really well. We had a chance to go visit Joe's sister and also spend some time with Jana and Braden and Jana's boyfriend Mike, and we just had a good time. I had one person tell me that they didn't fall asleep when Ryan preached. And that was because every time he started falling asleep, his microphone cracked and woke him up. So I asked Ryan if he would give me his hint, or his secret to success for keeping you awake. But I don't want my microphone to pop, so I hope you'll stay awake anyway. Another person said that I better stop leaving because I might lose my job. I hope that doesn't happen. Anyway, we're in a series called Expect the Unexpected. And this actually will go for two more weeks next week. And then next week is Unexpected Gifts. And then the week after that, we're going to take a look at basically what happens after Christmas is over with. And so that'll be the end of the year. Hard to believe that we have that. Two Sundays left in 2021. Somebody gave Tammy an ornament to put up and says, 2021 did not come out like I hoped it would, or something like that. And I think most of us would all agree on that. So let's just pray that God will move in our country and in our lives as well. Well, let's start reading with Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 8 through 20. And I know that many of you have heard this story hundreds and hundreds of times, but I just pray that just one thing might stick with you today. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And so the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army of angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." When the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed about the things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. Let's pray, please. And Father, I do pray for wisdom as we study. As I mentioned earlier, it's hard when you've read something hundreds and hundreds of times and maybe heard it from a little child, the story of Christmas. To not get this lazy feeling about it, not to get this feeling, "Oh, well, I've heard all of this, I don't need to hear any more." But I pray that for this morning especially, that you will just help us to be ready to hear what you have to say. Help us to find just one thing that strikes our heart and strikes our soul to show us why this story is so important and why this news, even though it is unexpected, is so world-changing and life-changing. So help us to have hearts that are ready to hear what you have to say. And then I pray, Father, that as I bring the message this morning, that you might help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. If you go to any church play, any church pageant, you will see a number of the same things. For example, you will see the choir director looking for a Mary and a Joseph. You can expect that. You can expect them looking for a baby Jesus. And it might be a baby Jesus who is a real baby of somebody, or it might be a baby doll. Well, that takes care of three people. What do you do when you have a youth group of kids that want to be in a play? You make them shepherds. Well, how do you make them shepherds? You put a bathrobe on them. You put a towel around their head. You tie the towel around their head. And you say, okay, join the choir. Join the club. And it becomes a great multitude. Because when we look at the wise men, we say, well, there's only three of them. What about the shepherds? Well, I want you to see that the shepherds, after this sermon, I want you to see the shepherds are more than just an add-on to the Christmas story. I want you to see that they are more than, meanwhile, back at the range type of appendage, you know, that we just kind of bring along because, we've got to talk about shepherds. I want you to see that these men were recipients of unexpected news, unexpected good news, unexpected world-changing, life-changing news. And hopefully that you and I will also grasp that same truth. Now, what I want to do is I want to ask two questions, and I want to try and answer the questions. The first question I want to ask is, where are all the celebrities? Now, you'll understand why I asked that question as we get going. I have a book in my office that I used to study this series, and as did Ryan. It's by a man named David Mathis, and the name of the book was The Christmas You Didn't, or We Didn't Expect, The Christmas We Didn't Expect. He began one of his chapters with this title, Glory to God in the Lowest. Interesting title for a chapter, Glory to God in the Lowest. And you're probably looking at it like, doesn't it say glory to God in the highest? Why in the world does he say glory to God in the lowest? Well, here's what he said. This is how he began his chapter. It may have been the greatest choral presentation in the history of the world. One nameless angel had the honor of singing the lead with a veritable angelic multitude behind him. But no tickets were sold, and the show was not announced ahead of time. The audience was simply a flock of unresponsive sheep and a lowly band of unsuspecting shepherds, but it was too good to keep quiet about. Word got out, and as Luke chapter 2, verse 18 tells us, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. And the Gospel of Luke records the story for us to wonder at too. The announcement that was made on that night on the Bethlehem Hill was going to be a world-changing and life-changing announcement, not just for the shepherds, but for us as well. I think it will help us to know a little bit more about the shepherds if we understand them a little bit more. I want to tell you a little bit of history, and then maybe this will just kind of bring it to more contemporary times. Do you remember the man named Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, bought off the auction block by Potiphar, made the head of his household until Potiphar's wife accused him of assault. He was tossed in prison because of that, And he languished in prison, and even though he had interpreted some dreams of the cupbearer and the baker of the king, even though he had interpreted the dreams, and he got the cupbearer to say, "I will remember you later," the cupbearer didn't do that. Until one day that Pharaoh had a dream that nobody in all his people could understand and interpret. All of a sudden, the cupbearer said, "I remember a guy named Joseph." So he brought Joseph out. Joseph interpreted the dream, and because of his plan, because of his dream, he was able to save Egypt from basically extinction because of a famine that had wreaked the whole land. Joseph was elevated to second in command, and then eventually, if you know the story, his brothers came to get grain, and Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers, and his brothers thought for sure, "Man, when he knows who we are, we're goners." But Joseph turns the page on him, and he says, "I want you to bring Dad, and I want you to bring yourself, and I want you to come here. But you can't come here to Egypt. You have to go to Goshen, because Genesis chapter 46 tells us that the Egyptians despised the shepherds." Now, why the story? As a matter of fact, all shepherds were despised everywhere. It was considered one of those occupations everyone needed, but nobody wanted. It was one of those occupations that was definitely a necessity in that town and in that time, because someone needed to raise the sheep for sacrifice, but nobody wanted it. Well, why? Well, there are four or five reasons, actually, why shepherds were nobodies. I like to give them to you so you can understand a little bit more about the story. Number one, shepherds were dishonest. They had a philosophy, what we would say, "What is mine is mine, and what is yours is mine." In other words, they were dishonest. They were thieves. And so they didn't care that if that was your property, it became theirs. The second thing about shepherds is they were unreliable. Most often shepherds, unless they were part of a family, most often shepherds were hired help. And so when a wild animal came, like a wolf came or a lion came, they ran. They weren't going to stick their life out on the line for these sheep. And so they were unreliable and would just take off. The third characteristic is that they were unsavory characters. We would say, "Do you know where they've been?" Because of their lifestyle. The fourth characteristic of them is that shepherds were unclean. Now, we might say, "Well, so what? I'm unclean too. I work all day. You know, I work on a farm. I work with my hands all day and I'm unclean." That is different in our culture than it was back then. In that culture, being unclean meant that you could not come to the temple. You had to abide by all the ceremonial laws for cleanliness to be able to offer sacrifices. Well, how are you going to be able to stay clean and be a shepherd at the same time? You couldn't. So that leads us to number five. Shepherds were viewed with suspicion. And when you take all the other four, can you hardly blame them for viewing the shepherds as with suspicion? I can't. But what's important is this announcement that was going to be world-changing and was going to be life-changing was made to shepherds. It wasn't made in the temple where all the religious people took up space. It wasn't made in the palace where Octavius, who is also known as Caesar Augustus, that we read about in Luke chapter 2, where he took up space. It wasn't made in Bethlehem, where Herod was the king, and he took up space. Where was the announcement made? On a hillside. To dirty, rotten people. Just like me and you. You see, the tone that was established that night on the hillside was important. And Luke is reminding us, and if you forget everything else this morning, don't forget this. Luke is reminding us that the kingdom of God is not just for the insiders. It's for the outsiders. It's not just for the religious people. They need him too. But it's also for those who are on the fringes. For those who are what we would call are the outsiders. Look how Jesus, look at the announcement. The announcement, as I said, was not made in the temple, was not made in the palace, was not made where all the, you know, where the uppity-ups were. The announcement of Jesus' birth was made on a hillside in Bethlehem to dirty, rotten people like me and like you. Jesus came not caring about the class of people. He didn't care about what our pedigree was. God didn't care about how up we were, how down we were. Jesus came as Savior. He came as King. He came as a lion. And he came as a shepherd. That about includes them all. So that's the first question. Were all the celebrities? Who knows? They were in the temple. They were in the palace. But that's not where the announcement was made. So the second question we want to ask ourselves is, what was their response? I think it goes without saying that our life is filled with, shall I call them, memorable moments. And they brand us. And sometimes they scar us. There are moments that happen to us that burn into our memories, into our hearts, and we are never the same. They're always there. And those are good and bad, you know. We have good moments. We think, oh, yes, I'll never forget that. And then we have a bad moment, and then we say, I wish I could forget it. No doubt, this is one of those moments. To understand the response, we need to take a real quick look at the process or this event that took place. Let's begin. The first event or the first process that we need to do is to look at the messenger. So if you have a Bible, would you please go with me to verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Now, what I want you to grasp or try to do right now is to think about the brightest light you have ever seen. Maybe it's been pitch black, and an LED light comes on, and you know, they are about as bright a light as we're going to find. Okay? You got that burned in your mind? Magnify it. Magnify it. Because that's the kind of light that was shown that night. The word that's used for the glory of the Lord is the word Shekinah. And it refers to the majesty and the perfection of God and the brightness of God. And so what is happening here, these sheep, these shepherds are on this hillside with these sheep. It's, except for the sheep, it's quiet, it's starry, dark. And this light shows up. And this light is so bright, but notice what it says, do not be afraid. Okay, right. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And then he tells them the second part of this, and that is to look at the message that was given. He says in verse 11, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He tells them who's coming. Now understand this, and to grasp the importance of this, is that they have expected the Messiah for thousands of years. From the very beginning of time, the Old Testament prophets have been telling them Messiah was coming. But the light that we saw in the earlier verse of the glory of God has not shone in Israel in hundreds of years. The light had gone out. And now all of a sudden, this bright light has shown up. And it's telling them that today, this day, your life is about to change. Your world is about to change because the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, is now born. And he tells them how to find him. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes or wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then to add, I don't want to say insult to injury because that would be the wrong thing, to add to the picture of power, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army. I don't know about you, but if I'm one of them shepherds, I'm going, oh, whoa. Not only have I seen one angel with a light brighter than I've ever seen before, but now I am seeing a whole multitude of angels joining a chorus that says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he's pleased. We need to see that message, that Christ the Savior is born. So what did they do? And this is where I want to bring the message to a close. What was their response to all of this? The first response was one of wonder. We use another word. We call it worship. They had to have been blown away by what they saw. The wonder and the worship that came. He identified him as Christ the Lord. And the encounter that they had, how could they not be affected? When you are confronted with who Jesus is, and you are overwhelmed by who he is, and by what he's done for you, we cannot stay silent. We should be overwhelmed. And so they were overwhelmed with wonder. But then that leads to the next thought, and that is they put feet to their worship. All right, let's see it there. Verse 15. When the angel had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, okay, did this really happen? Maybe we ought to Google appearance of angel. What am I supposed to do? Is that what it says there? Let's go straight to Bethlehem. No pass and go, no collecting $200. Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in a hurry. Wow. I sure am glad they're not like me. I would have tried to reason the whole thing out. Did I really see that? Maybe I'm watching too much TV. Maybe it's a video game. No. It says that they immediately said, let's go to Bethlehem. And this is the third part, and this is where I need you to put on your imaginary cap. They would tell all who would listen what they've been told. All right, here you go. What do you do with all these sheep? Well, if you're a good shepherd, what do you do with them? You take them with you. Can you imagine the scene? Going through the town of Bethlehem with a flock of sheep behind you. And they're not being quiet. Where do you find out where this baby's born? Do you knock on a door and say, hey, is this where the stable is? And look at you like you were nuts. You know what's important? We're not given any details except one. They found the manger. You know why? Because that's all that really matters. It doesn't matter whether the sheep went with them. It doesn't matter if they used their GPS. It doesn't matter if they knocked on doors. It doesn't matter if they even yelled, hey, where's the manger at? Where's the manger at? All that matters is they found the manger. And when they found the manger, they found Jesus. When they came in a hurry, they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. What was that statement? Well, you got to go back to verse 11. Today in the city of David, there has been born a Savior who's Christ the Lord. So he is reaffirming to Mary and Joseph that this baby is Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. And when they had seen him, they made known that statement, and all who heard it were amazed. I wonder who all the who heard it. I don't know who that is. Probably doesn't really matter. They were amazed by what they'd been told by the shepherds, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. You know what? I have a hard time believing that these shepherds would ever be the same. You see what happens when we encounter Jesus in our lives? We're never the same. He changes us, radically changes us. He makes a life change in us that is unbelievable. And when you encounter Jesus, you will never be the same. And I realize that some of this is speculation, because we don't have any more record of these shepherds. But if I can put myself in their place, I would say they would never be the same. What's that say to us? It's easy to get what I call the feels at Christmas. I feel sentimental. I feel warm. I feel kind. I feel love. I like the lights. I like the trees. I like, you know, and we get these feels. But that is mere sentimentality. That's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about a Savior. Christmas is about a Savior who invaded the world and made a difference in lives. These shepherds left their field to follow a lesson that they were told. A Savior is going to be born in a manger. What about you and me? Are we willing to leave behind the junk to follow and find the Savior? I want to close with a story. Philip Yancey wrote a book a number of years ago, well over 20 years ago, called The Jesus I Never Knew. And in that book, he tells a story. Queen Elizabeth II had recently visited the United States, and reporters delighted in spelling out the logistics that were involved. Her 4,000 pounds of luggage included two outfits for every occasion, a mourning outfit in case someone died, 40 pints of plasma, and white kid leather toilet seat covers. She brought along her own hairdresser, two valets, and a host of other attendants. Now, keep in mind, this was over 20 years ago. Her visit, this visit of royalty to a foreign country, would have easily cost over $20 million. In contrast, God's visit to earth took place in an animal shelter with no attendants present and nowhere to lay the newborn king but a feeding trough. Indeed, the event that divided history and even our calendars into two parts may have had more animal than human witnesses. In fact, he finished by saying a mule could have stepped on him. That's the story of Jesus. He wasn't impressed by impressive stuff. He didn't go to the palace. He didn't go to the temple. He went to a feeding trough. He doesn't care who we are. He doesn't care how much we earn. He doesn't care about the kind of house we live in. He doesn't care about the color of our skin, our pedigree, who we are, or anything else. We are outsiders when we're not with him. And that's what he cares about. And he cares about the insiders too, those who have come to know Jesus and want to make him Lord and King and Savior of their life. That's a story for me and you. That's the story of the shepherds. These men who are out on a hillside, totally surprised with some unexpected news. Today is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That Savior is for me. That Savior is for you. That Savior was for those shepherds, the outcasts of society, and the Savior is for all of those in our world today who are outside and outcasts. We have a message to tell. It's a life-changing, world-changing message of God's love. That he came as a baby to ultimately die on a cross. Do you know that, Jesus? If not, I pray that you will decide and make that decision today. Let's pray. And Father, I pray that you will help us to follow you. Help us to be like these shepherds who didn't hesitate when the news came that the child was born. They didn't Google whether it happened. They didn't put on their GPS. They just followed you. They said, "Let's go now." And they found Jesus in a manger. And then it says they couldn't keep quiet about it. And Father, that's the way we should be as well. We find you, and then we can't keep quiet about it. So help us this week to get out of our own little worlds and begin to look at people who desperately need a Savior. Help us to see this Christmas season as more than lights and a tree and fun things and sentimental movies and sentimental songs, but instead to see it as an opportunity to tell somebody about the love of Jesus. So thank you for loving us. Go with us this week, and I pray if there's somebody who has watched online or somebody who has been here this morning and wants to know more about Jesus, that they will respond. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today here and online. Appreciate it. Have a great week. Enjoy it. It's supposed to be in the 40s and 50s this week. Yeah, that's winter weather. Anyway, have a good time this week. See you later.